A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Today's Daf Shabbos Mem, Shabbos 40b, pagination page 80. We'll start in the wide lines, about 8 lines from the beginning of the wide. The beginning of the line is Beinayhu Kila'achar Yad, and we start with Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Our topic over here continues on the topic of bishul, cooking on Shabbos, and the Gemara entertains the possibility that different items have a different ruling regarding cooking. The Gemara considers the possibility that oil should not have to get to Yad Soled Espo, to the point that it's actually hot, as we'll discuss, a degree of heat, because oil becomes more usable at even a lesser degree of heat. But the Gemara now rules that every liquid follows the same principle. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Echad Shemen ve'echad Mayim, both oil and water. Yad Soledes Bo Asur, if it reaches the point of the hand being scalded by it, it's forbidden. That's considered heated up to the point of cooking. Ein yad soledes bo mutter. But if it did not reach the point of a hand being scalded, then it is permitted and no Shabbos violation occurred. We mentioned that you're not allowed to even leave an item in the proximity of the heat source to the point that it would get to this level of heat if it were forgotten about. But if it actually did not cook, it did not cook. It's not bishul because it didn't cook. Level of cooking is being described here as the hand being scalded by. Now, it's a tough translation because the Mefarshim explained that the exact temperature we're dealing with here is a little bit confusing. It does not mean that a person can keep his hand in that water forcibly, because that doesn't prove anything. You want to be a glutton for punishment, you could do anything. And it doesn't mean that you slid your hand in and managed to keep it there for a millisecond. That also doesn't prove anything. What's described over here in Yad Soledes Bo is that you could keep your hand there for a period of time, and you're not withdrawing your hand. Yad Soledes Bo, that you don't withdraw your hand because of the heat. So sometimes we have the question, Milchix Fleishix in a kosher kitchen, you have the question, was the water hot enough to cause a problem? They find a Fleishix utensil, they find some milk in the Fleishix bucket, etc. So we ask, how hot was the water? That's one of the major considerations. And if the person says, I was washing my hands comfortably in it, that's certainly one indicator that perhaps it did not reach Yad Soledes Bo. There's still room for debate, but it's certainly one of the indicators. Asks the Gemara, because apparently this was a little bit in need of elaboration, Vehechi dami yad soledes bo. What exactly does yad soledes bo mean? Omer Rechava. Rechava explained, Kol shekreso shel tinok nichves. Anything that the stomach of a child, of an infant, would be burned. So, obviously, don't do this. But it is a measure of heat that was medically known. What would cause the burn? How hot would it have to be? Also, pressing on this topic is the fact that Chazal tell us that the place of shechita on an animal is considered tzonein. I'm sorry. The place of shechita on an animal is the cutoff of what's considered hot and what's considered cold. And the Beis HaShechita is described as 45 degrees Celsius. Reb Shlomo Zalman uses this as one of his indicators. The bottom line in transferring it to Fahrenheit is that Reb Moshe in a tshuva writes that the range is from 110 Fahrenheit to 160 Fahrenheit is the numbers that we would work with to say either it's possibly Yatzel Edesbo, so that it was too hot to allow it, or it's already exceeded, it's definitively cooked, it's definitively reached Yatzel Edesbo, and that's the range that we work with. Now we have a story. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi said, Pam achas nechnasti acha Rebbe leves hamerchatz. I once walked in after Rebbe to the bathhouse. Uvikashti, and I wanted, lehaniach lo, to put for him, pach shel shemen. We know how to translate pach shel shemen. It's 30 days to Hanukkah right now, yeah? A jug of oil, a flask of oil. Be'ambati. In the bathtub. I wanted to put the flask into the bathtub to warm it up. I guess so that he could use the oil. V'amali, and he said to me, Toba klisheni, you could only put the flask into a klisheni, into a second vessel. Because the original vessel is too hot. And you're noticing, even though it's with the separation of a flask, of a keli, it's still considered too hot to put in the first vessel. V'tein, and you can do it. Shmamina tlas, we learn from here three things. Shmamina shemen yesh ba misham bishul. Oil also can be considered a cooked, potentially, item that's cooked. Ushmamina klisheni eina mevashel, and in the second vessel, it's not cooking. Ushmamina v'sheira zeu bishulo, that warming up the oil, that's considered cooking. Now, there's actually another item which in contemporary halacha is considered a chiddush, and that's the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Berurah, that if you were to put a uncooked or a liquid item into the first vessel, even if it's being separated by a kli, it's still considered bishul. The practical application of that, extremely practical, is warming up milk for a baby. So you could be warming up pasteurized milk for an older child. You could be warming up mother's milk that has never been cooked, and you're warming it up for the child. And it could very well be that a person would take a warming pot from the stove, take it off the stove, put it on a trivet or something, and want to immerse the bottle of milk into that kli rishon, into that first vessel. And a person's first reaction might be, well, it's being separated by another kli, so somehow it's called kli sheni. And what the Mishnah Berurah says, what you see from this Gemara, is that pach shel shemen, the flask of the jug of oil being immersed in a kli rishon, when it had oil in it, was something we objected to. So I don't know if the Mishnah Berurah, I don't notice if he mentions this Gemara specifically as the source, but he jumps on the Shulchan Aruch and says specifically that even though the kli is separating, it's still considered a kli rishon, and it's going to be an issue of bishul. You would have to transfer that hot water to a kli sheni before you put the liquid in. Now, you go through the logic. If it's pasteurized, so then it's a davar lach, it's a liquid that's already been cooked, and you're re-cooking it. But because it's cold, by a liquid item, we rule strictly on that, and you're not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. If it's mother's milk, so it has never been cooked, and putting it in could actually be a deoraisa, a biblical violation, not just a chumra of ours. The Gemara continues here with something that's certainly worthy of additional consideration. Hechi Ovid Hachi, how could he go ahead and explain the halacha to him, what he should do with the jug? Anywhere you're allowed to think in learning, except for a bathhouse and a restroom. You're not allowed to think in learning. So he's verbalizing learning. He's telling him what to do and what not to do. So he used it in a secular language. So what? When you're allowed to speak, you're allowed to use Lashon Kodesh, Shal Kodesh, but if it's holy things and you're not allowed to say them, also Amrim B'Lashon Chol, using a secular language isn't going to help you. There's no difference. And the Gemara answers, Afrusha me Isura Shaini, to separate someone from doing a violation that's different, and for that you're allowed to issue the ruling, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. In essence, I believe it's pointing out that, we're Jews, even in the bathroom, even in the bathhouse, and it's going to come out that he's not just going to murmur or motion or whatever, he's going to say openly, put it there and not there, in order to avoid a violation, in this case, a Shabbos violation. Yeshu Koach, have a wonderful day.